All right. Let's see if I can get this thing to work tonight without losing my Bible. Looks pretty good so far. Now, last week, we dealt with the rapture, right? Last Sunday morning. Last Sunday evening, we dealt with the storm. And we got home. So last evening's message was this morning, and we dealt with the judgment seat or the bema of Christ, which all who have accepted Christ as their Savior are going to face. All right, I trust that each one of you will be there because you've put your faith and trust in Christ. Having dealt with those two topics, it should lead us to want to live for Christ, right? I trust it does. Christ is coming. Could be today. Could be before we get home tonight. We don't know. The next thing on the scene is the judgment seat or the bema of Christ, when we will be dealt with regarding how we have lived for Him and there is that expectation of rewards for those of us who have served Him. But Paul says, twice over, that we are ambassadors. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 for one verse, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20. Ephesians 6 and 20, Paul says of himself, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And so he was asking at this point for the Ephesians to pray for him that he would speak boldly and live as an ambassador, even though he was in bonds, he was in prison. Now let's turn back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Second Corinthians, chapter 5, and again, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. And there we read, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God had beseeched you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Father, we do ask that as we look at this topic, that you would just lead our thoughts and teach us what you want us to know this evening. We do pray that as a result of it, each one of us here, having accepted Christ as Savior, we might realize that we are ambassadors for you. And we do pray that you would help us to fulfill that role. We ask it in our Savior's name and for His glory. Amen. Ambassadors. Charles Malik was a Lebanese ambassador to the United States and the United Nations. And he was asked in a speech, "What has been the greatest American contribution to the rest of the world?" Has it been money? Has it been food? Has it been medical skill? Has it been military might? Has it been industrial know-how? This is how he answered. The greatest thing to come out of America has been the American missionary effort. The quiet, selfless men and women who have left the comfort and security of their homeland to bring the gospel of Christianity to less favored nations. This is an ambassador stating that this is what has affected the world the most. I wonder how much of that I have been involved with. What I want to do tonight is look at this word ambassadors, and we're not going to get through it, so you can realize you can go home reasonable time. But what we're going to do is look at this, and as we noticed this morning on the door, we're going to make an acrostics of it. And we're going to, so obviously we have a number of things, but we're not going to cover them all, okay? And so what we're going to do then is the A. The A stands for appearance. The appearance of their own country. You look at an ambassador, and they generally wear the clothes of their home country. They generally, maybe they have a different skin tone. Maybe there's other things that represent their country, so there's the appearance of those people of their country. Well, that's the same thing with us. You and I are ambassadors for Christ. Our home country is heaven. And therefore, when people look at me, when people look at you, they should see evidence of heaven. Do they do that? Do they see that? Stories often been told of individuals who have gone into a store. And I think I've had the same sort of experience once or twice. You talk to the salesperson and you're a Christian, aren't you? Or maybe they say that of you. There should be evidence. There should be the appearance of heaven on us. Ephesians 2:19. We read 6 and 20, but Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." That's where our citizenship is, beloved. It's in heaven. 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10 says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but," now here's the key, "which becometh women professing godliness with good works." You see, people should see that we belong to Christ. We are ambassadors. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearances of evil." It's interesting, as the early disciples were seen, we see in Acts 4:13, it's recorded here, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," pardon me, "and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," that's me, "they marveled." Now notice this next phrase, "and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, beloved, there should be that appearance. You remember in Exodus chapter 34, Moses went up into Mount Sinai. He was there 40 days talking with the Lord, and he came down and he brought the tablets with the law on them down. And you notice what it says in Exodus 34. We won't read for sake of time the whole thing, but it says, when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them, and afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. And when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he had commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, even with the veil on it, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak to the Lord. You see, when we spend time with Christ and with God, there should be an effect on us. It should affect our appearance. People should be able to see that we have been with Jesus. First John 3:1-3 says, "Behold, beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And then notice verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You see, there should be a reflection. We should be coming more like Christ day by day, even now. Right? And so we discover the A stands as ambassadors. There should be an appearance of our home country in you and me. That would bring honor and glory to the Lord and to Christ, wouldn't it? The M. I have stands for he makes contact with citizens of the foreign country and is friendly towards them. All right? Beloved, we cannot see others saved unless we make contact with them. Right? Now, it's not a holier-than-thou attitude, okay? The other expression is, "There but for the grace of God go I." Right? We need to realize that it's only God's grace that has brought us into this position. But we need to make friends. We need to befriend the foreigners. But these ones from other countries, these ambassadors, they may befriend those here, if they're ambassadors to Canada, but they don't necessarily do what we do, right? Because it's against what their country would consider right. And so while we make contact, while we befriend those individuals, we need to keep in mind that our conduct must still be according to our position as sons and daughters of Christ. Mark 2, verses 14 to 17 says, "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" Well, Jesus knew the answer, right? So verse 17, he says, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so the example of our Lord Jesus Christ was to befriend these individuals, the publicans and the sinners. And we need to do that. But we still need to be careful of how, what we're doing in that case. So we need to be willing to go out of our way to make contact with Christ, because Christ went out of his way to make contact with us, didn't he? There he was, the Lord of glory. And he left heaven and came down to earth. The cost should be a minor consideration because of the example he set. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich." And so we need to make contact with those around us in this foreign country. So that's the A and the M. Now we get to the B. An ambassador boldly speaks and promotes his country. Wouldn't be very wise to send an ambassador over to another country and then they never say anything about the country they left, right? An ambassador represents his or her home culture and looks out for their home country's interest, right? George Shultz, when Secretary of State during the Reagan administration, kept a large globe in his office. When newly appointed ambassadors had an interview with him, and when ambassadors returned from their posts for the first time, a visit with him, when they were leaving his office, Shultz would test them. He would say, "You have to go over to the globe and prove to me that you can identify your country." They would go over, spin the globe, and put their finger on the country to which they were sent, unerringly. When Shultz's old friend and former Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield was appointed ambassador to Japan, even he was put to the test. This time, however, Ambassador Mansfield spun the globe and put his hand on the United States. He said, "That is my country. On June the 27th, 1993, Schultz related this to Brian Lamb on C-SPAN's book notes. Said the secretary, "I've told that story subsequently to all the ambassadors going out. Never forget, you're over there in that country, but your country is the United States. You're there to represent us. Take care of our interests and never forget it. And you're representing the best country in the world." Well, we might argue that, but anyway. We are representing heaven, right? And that's the best country out of this world. And we are ambassadors for Christ. And we need to speak boldly for Him and promote heaven. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20 says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And then verse 20 we've already read, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that here, therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We ought to speak boldly for our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1, 14 through 20 starts off and says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so on he goes. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. It didn't matter where it meant he had to go or what happened to him. He was ready boldly to speak of Christ. And you and I should have that same boldness. We need to pray for that, don't we? We need to pray for that. And so, we ought to speak boldly for our Lord. And then the A says, we need to be active in the job. You get an ambassador who comes to another country, their home country is paying for them to come over and so on. They wouldn't last long as an ambassador if they were not active in the job, right? And that's the way it is with us. We need to be active for Christ. What is the potential for the activity? Well, we need to be looking for opportunities to speak for Christ. Do you look for opportunities? Do you ask the Lord for opportunities? When those opportunities come up and you notice them, do you seize upon them? There's a tremendous opportunity or potential for activity. Luke 6:46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Well, he's told us to go out and present Christ. Do we do that? You remember his example. Christ was there. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. His parents had taken off, forgot, thought he was with somebody else, realized he wasn't, and they come back and they find him. Where? In the temple. And there he is, having a conversation with the scribes and the Pharisees. They say, what happened? Where were you? Why didn't you come with us? And what was his answer? Verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? I kind of think that means you should have known where I would have been. I don't know. That's just speculation. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And beloved, that's the way it should be with you and I. We should be about the Father's business. John 13, we get the idea there, verses 13 to 17. It talks about the fact that I'm your Lord and Master. You know, I've shown you what to do. Therefore, you need to do that as well. And that's how you're going to be happy. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If we are ambassadors and we're not willing to work, let me say this in relation to our session this morning. You're going to lose the rewards, right? So we see the potential of activity. There's a lot of it out there. But we see the power of the act for the activity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31 says, For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We look at this and we say, well, I'm just not up to the job. That's great. That's the first qualification. Right? Because if you're not up to the job, then you're not going to be relying on yourself. You're going to have to rely on the Spirit of God to do it. Right? Remember what we said this morning, in light of the Bema of Christ, we have to live by His strength, right? And His grace. And that's the only way. That way, there's nothing of self. And so He's chosen this, right? Verse 30, But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Listen, beloved, it is only in His power that we can be an ambassador. He's the one that sends us forth as ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, we then, as workers together with Him, don't you like that? We're not out there on our own. We're workers together with Him. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We need to be ambassadors. And so we see the power. It's the Spirit of God that gives us that power. God is the one. And then we notice the product of the activity. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And then we noticed this morning, going for the gold and the silver and the precious stones. And it's only, those are the products. And as a result, the rewards. As we see individuals coming to know Christ as Savior. So that's the first four letters. Well, let's keep going. Sojourner. Sojourner. We're a sojourner in a foreign country. One night when an ambassador and his valet were obliged to sleep in the same room in a hotel, the valet noticed his master tossing and turning in bed. "Sir, what bothers you?" he asked. "Oh, I have so many things on my mind. The burden of my responsibility is hard to bear." Forgive me, sir, but do you think God has been governing the world up to now?" "Of course." "And do you think he'll manage even after you've left this world?" "Undoubtedly." "Then don't you think it's possible for you to trust him to do it even during your lifetime?" Well, the ambassador got the point and was soon fast asleep. Beloved, we're sojourners. We have a responsibility. But we need to realize that it's in his hands, right? We're sojourners in the world, right? We look at Genesis, Abram. Genesis 26:3, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give thee these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." So here God is speaking to Isaiah, Isaac. Came back. Speaking to Isaac. He's a sojourner. Right? We are sojourners in this world. Acts 7:4-7 talks about that. "Then came he out of the land of Chaldeans," talking about Abraham. And as it goes through there, it says, Abraham, there he was. He was promised the land, but he just sojourned. He never saw the fulfillment in his lifetime of that promise. All the way through his life, he was a sojourner. And you and I are in this world. We're just sojourners. Why? Christ may come tonight, right? And so we are sojourners in the world, but, I'll be okay, we need to be separated from the world, right? Romans 12:1-2, most of you can probably quote this. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so, pardon me. So we realize that we are to be separate. It's interesting, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We often limit this one to marriage counseling. Verses 14 to 18 starts off, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Isn't that great? What a promise. But listen, we're in the world, but we are to be separate. You don't find ambassadors coming over to a different country and starting to mix with the people of that country in areas where they shouldn't be. Right? Why? Because they are representing their home country. And you and I are doing the same with our country. And so we are to be sojourners. We are in the world, but we are to be separate. And I have to say that oft times it means that we're going to suffer. God promised that, didn't he? You will suffer. The world doesn't hate, the world hates you. And so suffering is something that we should be expecting. An ambassador is not always received. Paul was often in bonds because he was doing what he should, but he didn't complain, but instead glorified God in them. You remember the situation in Acts chapter 16? Silas is chumming along with Paul, and they get arrested and thrown in jail. Right? Country is Philippi. Verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas complained to the Lord." No, they didn't. "Paul and Silas decided to make a real ruckus." No, they didn't. "Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises." Whoa, how can you do that? In stocks and bonds. But that's what they did. Sang praises unto God. And you know what? The prisoners heard them, says right in that verse. So the Lord allowed them to be a testimony to the other prisoners. But you know what else happened? God was moved so much he caused an earthquake. And the jailer came to know the Lord and all his family. Wow. Isn't it amazing how the God uses us in different ways? Ways we don't expect. Is he using you? I trust he is. You know, you need to be available. Right? You need to be available. He goes on in Philippians chapter 1 and talks about the situation. Don't have time to read that one. Got 5 minutes left, so I want to get the next point. An ambassador supports the home country's policies. An ambassador supports the home country's policies. There's a lot of Canadian policies that I can't accept. But I can accept every one that comes from heaven. Right? John 8, verse 31 to 36 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant to sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And so where do we find our country's policy? It's in the Word of God, right? And so we need to hold fast to the Word of God. People today are losing that grip on the Word of God. I'm sure you've heard of it. It just blows me away. There was a woman a while back announced on the radio that she was a minister in a United Church. And the people of the United Church were trying to get rid of her. Not because she was a woman, but because she was an atheist. Can you believe that? Trying to tell them about God and she's an atheist? They're not holding fast to the Word. And the thing is, beloved, that's happening all over Christendom. And it's happening in assemblies too, in different areas. We need to hold fast to the Word. And then we need to hold fast to our profession. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." We need to hold fast the Word of God, and we need to hold fast our faith. Do I do that? Am I ready to stand up? Have I searched the Word of God so I know what my faith is based on? Paul praised the Bereans for doing that, right? We need to get into the Word of God and know it. And then we need to hold fast our King's command. We sang about that the last hymn, right? He's coming as King. And we need to hold fast His commandments. We need to search the Word of God and see what the policies are of our country. And obey what our King tells us to do. Well, five more letters. So we're not going to do those tonight. But listen, beloved, you and I are ambassadors for Christ. If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, you automatically are an ambassador. How do you stand up? Oh, that we might stand for him and show and tell and be active for our country, which is heaven. And as a result, if we do that, you know what? The amazing thing of our God is he's got rewards for us for doing that. We are a blessed people by accepting Christ as Savior. Father, we do pray that we might indeed seek to honor and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might prove to be true ambassadors for Christ, honoring our country of heaven. Help us. We need your strength. We need your grace. We need your guidance. We need your Spirit's power in order to do this. So we ask for your blessing and your help. We ask it in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.